All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Dalid 104. We are picking up on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis 103b, three lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Tarfas, Rabosai, we dedicate our learning as a zechus for the Refuah Shalim of Kobi Rosemore, Chaim Yaakov David Ben Abigail, Gopdel in the merit of our Talmud Torah, who will have a complete and enduring Refuah along with Kol Chole Yisrael. So let's begin. Rabbi Tarfas, Rabosai, remember again, we were introduced to the machlokis between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. We saw in yesterday's daf a fascinating machlokis that dealt with whether when one goes ahead and whether steals an item, or we saw in one version purchased an item, and one does not know exactly whom they stole from. So how does one fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? So remember again, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you just put the item down in between the parties, the claimants, and let them figure it out. According to Rabbi Akiva, the obligation is actually to give back to each of the individuals in order to satisfy my outstanding responsibility. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon, Michti, Hecha, de Mishtaba, Lo Sagya, de La Hoda. So let's remember again, the way we established yesterday was that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Tarfon. And the Mishnah, because remember, the Mishnah spoke about a case where if I went ahead and I stole an item, and then I swore falsely that I did not steal, Kuf Kimo 103b, three lines up from the bottom. And I swore falsely, and then it's discovered that I swore falsely, or I admit that I swore falsely. The Mishnah said, I have an obligation to go and seek out and find the victim in order to go ahead and repay the amount. So the Gemara said, and even according to Rabbi Tarfon over here, Rabbi Tarfon would agree that this is the obligation since I swore falsely. So Rabbi Tarfon says the Gemara, Michti, Hecha din Mishtaba lo Sagi de la Hoda. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Tarfon, are you saying that if he swore falsely, it's only in a case where he swore falsely that he'd have to run after the victim, but it wouldn't be enough if he had just admitted what he did. My area of an ishpa, why does it have to be according to Rabbi Tarfon that it's a case where he swore falsely? Afilu below shvua nami. Even without having taken a shvua, he would still have to go ahead and run after the victim. This sanya, modi Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon agrees in the case, but omer l'shtayim gazalti echa mikem, mana v'eni yodea me'ezim mikem. So Rabbi Tarfon agrees in the following case. A man says, I say to two people, I stole from one of you, but I don't remember which one of you I stole from. Right? I say to Reuven and Shimon, I stole from one of you, I don't know which one. What's the halacha? No sin lezemana u lezemana. He gives a mana to this one and a mana to that one. Top of Kof Dalit. Shekvar holda mi piatzmo. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because he has already admitted the liability of his own validity. He's already admitted the liability on his own. So what's it? You see from here that even in a case where there is no shavua, as long as it's a situation ultimately where the individual admitted his own liability, that he would be obligated to go ahead and pay back that which he stolen to each of the parties. Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava said, Shiny Mas Nisin, the Mishnah is different. Why? The Chayvan Diyada Leman Gazle Va'odile, because it was in the Mishnah's case, I know who I stole from, right? The thief knows whom he stole from. Furthermore, again, he admitted his liability. Kevan de efshar lahabdure mamon lemare. Havi, since he has the ability to return the money to the owner, this is very interesting. Havi le kiman de amarle yihiyu li biyadecha. Bosei, listen to this. Since in the case of the Mishnah, Bosei, I stole from Reuven. I swore falsely that I did not steal from Reuven. Then I admitted my liability that I stole from Reuven. So since they're both saying in the case of the Mishnah, it's known who the thief is, and more importantly, it's known ultimately who the victim is, it's as if at the time that now I become liable for the amount of money, it's as if that the victim says to me, Yihiyu li biyadecha. Let the money remain in your hands until I could retrieve it. Hilchach, therefore, Bosai, in a case of Nishba, Afagav de Kamar le Yihiyu li biyadecha, therefore, Bosai, in a case where the person swore falsely, even though under normal circumstances, the victim says to the thief, let the money remain in your hand. Kevan de bai kapara, lo sagi ad de mati liyadei. Since the person requires atonement, ultimately, atonement is not affected until the thief returns the object, the thief returns the money to the hands of the victim. Ha lo ishtaba, havigabe pikadon ad asi v'shakel. So let me explain this outside. The Gemara now introduces something quite fascinating. The Gemara says that in a situation where I steal from someone, and then I admit my theft, the halacha is The halacha is that I don't have an obligation to seek out the aggrieved party. I should say the halacha. The Gemara is suggesting I don't have an obligation to seek out the aggrieved party. Why? Because once I've admitted my liability, essentially, listen to how interesting this is, I become almost like a shomer for the money, for the victim, until the victim could retrieve it from me. However, because I've admitted my liability, however, if I swear falsely, part of the atonement process for swearing falsely is seeking out the owner in order to return the money. So I'll say, listen to how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in this case. It's really quite interesting. The Mishnah says the Shulchan Aruch is a choshen mishpat hilchos gazelas shimin shin samich zayin. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins hagozel es chavero. If one went ahead and stole from his friend, I steal from my friend. If I went ahead and ultimately admitted my liability afterwards, I am not obligated to run after the victim in order to return the money. Rather, I hold on to the money until the victim could retrieve it from me. But if I took a false oath that I didn't steal, and in fact I did steal, I am obligated to chayiv lirdof achar abalim at sheyichzru lahem afilu heim bi'iye hayam. Right? So we'll say, it's interesting. So if I steal from someone, I admit my liability, I did not swear falsely, I can hold on to the object until the owner is able to retrieve it. If, however, I swore falsely at that point in time, I am obligated to run after the owners, to find the owners, wherever they may be, in order to go ahead and return the money. Now, granted, we saw in the Mishnah that there's the possibility of depositing it with Beis Din. We'll see that later on, but that's the Ikar Halacha, says the Gemara.
Is he supposed to let the owner know that they are, he stole from them, or just let the Beis Din?
Oh, if he can, if he, the obligation would be to let the owner know, but if he can't, let's say the owner's overseas, he lets the Beis Din know, and then he goes ahead and he has the obligation to return the money. Says the Gemara. Lo yitein lo libnov lo l'shluchos. Remember, the Mishnah paskind that when returning stolen monies, you cannot go ahead and you have to give the money to the victim directly. You can't give the money ultimately again to the victim's son or to the victim's shaliach. So says the Gemara, Itmar, Shliach Shaso Be'edim. We both say, what happens if a Shliach was appointed in the presence of witnesses? So Rav Chista Amar, Havi Shliach. So we both say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shliach, it's actually right across in Rashi. Shliach Shaso Be'edim, Reuven Shiyish Lo Ma'os Biyod Shimon. So Rav both say, right, Reuven has money in the hands of Shimon. Umina Shaliach Be'edim Lekablam Himenu V'nasnam Lo. And what happens? So we'll say Reuven has money in the hands of Shimon. Now, how does Reuven have money in the hands of Shimon? Because it could be a case of theft, right? Shimon stole money from Reuven, or it doesn't have to be theft, but let's keep it theft, right? So Shimon stole money from Reuven. Now Shimon wants to return the money. So what happens? Umina shaliach be'edim lekablam himenu v'nasnam lo. And what happens? Reuven appointed a shaliach in order to go ahead and receive the money from Shimon to bring it back to Reuven. So let's remember, the question we're trying to figure out over here, we all know you could appoint the shaliach, that's not really the issue. What's the issue? Does the shaliach have liability at the end of the day or not? Meaning, when Shimon the thief hands over the money to the shaliach, ultimately, again, is Shimon freed from responsibility for the money? It's as if he delivered it to Reuven, and therefore, should the money be lost or something happen on the way, Shimon is freed from responsibility, or does Shimon have responsibility until the money reaches the actual hands of Reuven? So the Gemara says, if you made, so Shliach Shasso Be'edim, I appointed, right, so Reuven, the victim, goes ahead and appoints a Shliach in front of witnesses. Rav Chista Amar Havi Shaliach, Rav Chista says, if you appointed the Shaliach in front of witnesses, then the Shaliach is a bona fide Shaliach. And therefore what? Rashi says, Havi Shaliach, therefore again, so let's play this out. Shimon stole from Reuven. Reuven appoints a shaliach to go ahead and go to Shimon and retrieve the stolen object. So Shimon gives the money to the shaliach. Shaliach is taking it back to Reuven. On the way back, what happens? Shaliach gets held up at gunpoint. He gets robbed. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The Chista paskins that since this shaliach was appointed in front of Edim, Once Shimon the thief gives over the money to the shaliach, Shimon has done his responsibility and he is freed from any further liability. Rabba says, lo havi shaliach. Rabba says, no, that even a shaliach appointed in front of Edim is not a proper shaliach. And as opposed to when you say not a proper shaliach, means that Shimon the thief still has liability, even after he hands over the money to the shaliach, and his liability extends until the money reaches the hands of Reuven. Rav Chista said, "Havi shaliach." Rav Chista said, "When you appoint a witness in front of Edim, so not a witness. I'm sorry, shaliach in front of Edim. So the shaliach is an extension of the mishaliach of Reuven in this case. Lahachi trach vokmei beEdim. The like obeshusay. This is why Reuven went out of his way to go ahead and appoint the shaliach in front of witnesses, in order that the shaliach should be a bona fide shaliach, an extension of the mishaliach." Rabba on the other hand says, lo havi shaliach. Rabba says, even if you appoint the shaliach in front of witnesses, he's still not a bona fide shaliach. Why? Hachi kamar. We'll say, this is what Reuven means. So in Reuven, we'll say, here's the shaila. Rav Chista's shita makes sense. Right? So Rav Chista says, if Reuven wants to get his stolen money back from Shimon, he doesn't want to go himself, he wants to appoint the shaliach. When he appoints the shaliach in front of Edim, so it makes sense that what he's saying is, I'm making a formal appointment to show that this shaliach is an extension of me. Therefore, Shimon, when you give my shaliach, when you give Reuven shaliach the money, it's as if you're depositing it directly with Reuven and you are freed from liability. According to Rabbah, what's the pshat? Meaning, if my shaliach is not an extension of me, if the shaliach is not an extension of Reuven, then why is Rabba going ahead and appointing the shaliach in front of witnesses? So listen to this. Tachi kamar, this is what he means to say. Inish mehem nehu. So what Reuven means to say to Shimon is, listen, this guy, the shaliach, he's a trustworthy guy. Is samachta samuch. If you want to rely on him, by all means, rely on him. And if you would like to go ahead and send it with him, then what? Then send it with him. In other words, it's a character reference. Appointing him in front of witnesses is a character reference for the shaliach, but in no way what? In no way vests the shaliach with the power or with the identity of the mishaleach. So it's interesting. So according to Rabbah, when Reuven appoints the shaliach in front of witnesses, the message he's giving to Shimon is, listen, this guy is a trustworthy guy, and if you, Shimon, want to send the money with him, he's a trusted courier. But at the end of the day, even when you give that money to the shaliach, just understand, you are not freed from responsibility until when? Until that money reaches my, meaning Reuven's, hands. Says the Gemara. Tanan, we learn. Listen to this. I want to borrow a cow from Reuven. So what does Reuven do? Reuven sends me the cow, so I'm borrowing it. The lender, is sending the object to me with either through his son, Biad Beno, through his Eved, Biad Shlucho, his agent, O Biad Beno, Biad Avdo, Biad Shlucho, Shel Shoel. Or I will say, for that matter, I go ahead and I send my son, right? Or my son, I'm the borrower, my son, my servant, my agent, to go and pick up the cow. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osei? Umesa, and the cow dies en route. So Rabbi Osei, it's an interesting shayla. I'm borrowing a cow from Reuven, and remember that cow was being transported from lender to bar, from Reuven to me, either through Reuven's Eved, his shaliach, or his son, or through my Eved, my shaliach, or my son, and it dies on the way. Who is responsible in transport? So says the Gemara, Potter. Who is Potter? So Rashi says, Potter is the Shoel. The borrower is Potter. Now remember, out of all the different, a Shoel has heightened responsibility, right? A Shoel is pretty much Chayiv for everything. So nevertheless, if the animal dies in transit, the Shoel is Potter. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Osei, Potter. The Lokama Birshus Shoel is Chayiv Ba'onsin. Because Rabbi Osei, at the end of the day, the cow was not yet in the rishus of the shaw, the borrower. So we'll say, what is the case? Now remember, so we have two different cases. So I understand in a case where the animal is being transported with the agent of the lender, I understand why if the animal dies in transit, the shoal is not going to be chayiv. But one second, there's another case, another set of cases, which is what? I'm sending my son, my Eved, my Shaliach, to pick up the cow. If that cow dies in transit and it's being transported by my Shaliach, why am I the Shoal, why am I not Chayiv for that death in transit? So we'll say, what's the case? When the Shoal is sending his agent, what's the case? So if I didn't appoint the Shaliach with Edim, Mina Yadinon, then how does anyone really know that Lamaisa, this person, is acting as my Shaliach? So the case has to be where I appointed the Shaliach with Edim, Vikatani de Potter, and yet what? The Mishnah, the Braisa, still rules that I am Potter if the animal dies in transit. So I'll say this would seem to be what? Because what Rav Chista say? When I appoint a shaliach in front of witnesses, what happens, Rav Osai? What happens? That agent, that shaliach, becomes an extension of me. If that's the case, then in this price, the way we're setting it up is, I'm borrowing a cow from Reuben, I'm the shoel, I appoint my son to go ahead and pick, I appoint him as to be my shaliach in front of witnesses, he goes, picks up the cow. Which means if I appoint him in front of witnesses, then what? He's an extension of me. Which means then, when he's transporting the cow, if the cow dies in transport, especially the halacha, I should be chayiv. Yet, the Braisa rules that I, the shoel, am potter. It's a kasha and Rav Chista. To which the Gemara says, no. Kidam Rav Chista, b'schiro ulekito, hachanai b'schiro ulekito. They both say, we're not talking about a case over here of where we have a formally appointed shaliach. Rather, we're talking about over here with someone who is my schira, my hired worker, or likito, my assistant. Rav Chista says, so I have someone who always does stuff for me, my personal assistant, right? My assistant, my worker. I send this person on errands all of the time. Rav Chista says, now is this person my shaliach? Is this person an extension of me? So the halacha says no. The halacha says this person may be my employee, this person may be someone who does errands for me, but Rabbi say, if somebody becoming a shaliach is a specific appointment of shlichus. Just because I send someone on an errand for me, lemaisa again does not automatically make them my shaliach. That's why, again, if my assistant or someone who's my worker goes and picks something up for me, in this case the cow, and the cow dies in transit, I do not yet have achrayus for that animal until that animal reaches my possession. But ultimately, again, the mashiel, the lender, right, will go ahead and bear the loss of the death of the cow. And obviously, all of this is talking about in situations where the parties have not negotiated these terms, meaning it would appear that in normal circumstances, if you were lending someone a cow and the cow is being transported, this would be a detail you would work out ahead of time, especially if you are the owner of the cow. Who bears responsibility once you drive that cow off the lot? You know, who's the achroi? Because stuff always happens in transit. But assuming one did not negotiate these details ahead of time, again, if it's a formally appointed shaliach of the shoel, then einachinami, the shoel assumes responsibility as soon as the animal is handed over into the hands of a shaliach. But if it's not a formally appointed shoel, then it is the lender, the owner of the animal, who has responsibility for the animal until the animal reaches the hands of the shoel. So the Gemara says, Tinan, we learned, lo yitin lo limnov lo l'shlucho. So I'll say, remember again, we learned in the Mishnah that if I stole an object and I want to return the object to the victim, I should not give the object to the son of the victim or to the shaliach of the victim. So the Gemara says, 1 second, hay shlucho hei chidami. So we'll say, what's the case of the I can't give it to the shaliach of the victim. Id laso be'edim min ayadinon. So I'll say, if the agent was not appointed with Edim, so then how does anyone know that he's really my agent? Rather, it has to be that what? It has to be that the shaliach was appointed in front of Edim. Shaliach was appointed by the victim in front of witnesses, and yet what? And yet what? That Mishnah tells you that I can't hand it over into the hands of the shaliach, which Abosai King would be a kasha on Rav Chista, to which the Gemara says, no, tikma Rav Chista b'schiro likito. They'll say again, Rav Chista again would interpret this case not as a real shaliach, but rather talking about someone who's a worker or who's an assistant to the nigzal, to the victim, and to teach us that such an individual does not act in the capacity of a formal shaliach. Ava shaliach sha'aso ve'edim mai. But I will say, if indeed the nigzal, the victim, did have a shaliach who was appointed in front of witnesses, then what would be the halacha? Hachinami havi shaliach. So we'll say, inachinami, had the nigzal, had the victim appointed a shaliach in front of witnesses, that would be a bona fide shlichos, and I, the thief, would be permitted to go ahead and return the object to the shaliach. And that would be tantamount to returning the stolen object to the victim himself. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, adetani seifa aval nosin hu l'shliach beis din. So we'll say, if that's the case, then when the end of the Mishnah said, but if you want to return it to an agent of the beis din, you can. Liflok v'lisnei bididei. Why not go ahead and make a distinction? Instead of Rav Ose introducing new information with the shliach beis din, why not go ahead and give a subdivision in the already stated case? Why? Because we'll say, let's say the following. Shliach shasa be'edim hachinami dehavi shaliach. So we'll say, why not say the following? Why not say, when do we say that you cannot go ahead and give over the stolen object to the shaliach of the victim? That's only if the agent was not appointed in front of Edim. But if the shaliach was appointed in front of Edim, then that is a bona fide shlichos, and you could go ahead and deliver that stolen object into the hands of that shaliach. To which the Gemara says, Amri lo psikale. Because you will say, here's the problem. The problem is because that case is not absolute, as we'll define in just a moment. Shaliach beis din loshna asa'u nigzal, veloshna asa'u gazlon, havi shaliach psikale. See, you're both saying, in the case of a shaliach beis din, whether it was the thief who went to beis din and said, I'm giving this stolen object to you, you're my shaliach to return it, or it was the victim who said to beis din, please act as my shaliach to accept the object. Whoever appoints the shliach beis din, Abosai, it works. So shliach beis din is an appointable position either through the gazlan or the nigzal. On the other hand, shliach shaso be'edim dechi aso nigzal hu dahavi shaliach. But Abosai, again, when we speak about a shaliach being appointed in front of witnesses, that when he receives a stolen object, it's as if it returned to the victim. That's only when, if the victim appointed this shaliach. However, aso gazlan lo havi shaliach. But I will say, if the thief appointed this agent and appointed this agent to act on behalf of the victim, this does not work. Therefore, lo psikale. Therefore, I will say, because it's not an absolute case, therefore we don't include it. In other words, what the Gemara says is the following. Yes, your distinction is correct. At the end of the day, Rav Osai, if the victim appointed a shaliach in front of witnesses, that shaliach is a bona fide shaliach. That shaliach is considered to be an extension of the victim himself, and therefore, when the thief delivers the money into the hands of that shaliach, then what? The thief has fulfilled his obligation of returning the stolen object, and should something happen to that object in transit, before it reaches the hands of Reuven, the victim, lemaisa, again, the thief has done his job. Thief has done his job. However, that's only if it's the victim who appoints the shaliach. If the thief appoints the shaliach, Rabosai, this does not work. Masha'in Kain, in the case of shaliach beis din, whether it's the thief or the victim who appoints the shaliach beis din, ultimately that appointment will work, and that shaliach will be able to accept the object on behalf of the thief. So the Gemara says, Lafuke mehaitana, and this comes to exclude the following opinion. The Sanyo Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Shliach beis din shasal nigzal, v'lo asal gazlan. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Mishnah comes to exclude the following opinion. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says the following. A Shliach beis din, who was appointed by the thief, not the thief, excuse me, the victim, but not appointed by the thief. Oh, asal gazlan, v'shalach hala, v'natal es shalom miyado. Or Rabbos say the gazlan appointed it, and what happens? V'shalach halav v'natal es shalo. If you look at Rashi, v'shalach halav v'natal es shalo. So we'll say, let's say then the nigzal, right? The victim sent his own shaliach to go ahead and retrieve the object from the shaliach beis din. So what's halach Rabbos say? Potter. Ultimately, he is potter. Rashi, who's potter? Me'ones haderech. According essentially, Rav Shimon Elazar says that even shaliach beis din only works if what? If both the gazlan and the nigzal jointly appoint him. So we'll say our Mishnah does not reflect that view. So this opinion of Shimon Elazar says only if they both appoint him. Our Mishnah comes to exclude that view, that either of the parties have the ability to appoint a shaliach beis din, and such a person ultimately, again, will act almost as a proxy of the nigzal, of the victim, in order to return the stolen object. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, v'Rabbi Elazar, d'amri tarvayhu, shliach, we'll say, last, third to last line on Chavtal Ramad Aleph, shliach sha'aso be'edim, havi shaliach. So we'll say, so both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both say that a shaliach who was appointed with Edim is a bona fide shaliach. But maybe you'll say ultimately again, what about our Mishnah? In other words, what about our Mishnah? Look at Rashi. Then to our Mishnah Seinu, Diktani, lo yitain l'shlucho. V'idol aso be'idim inoya adinon. Took, so we'll say, remember again, but what do you do with our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah said that the thief should not deliver the object into the hands of a shaliach, but rather, again, should go ahead and return the object to the stolen party himself. But I will say, here's the issue. If you're telling me that a shaliach who was appointed with Edim is a bona fide shaliach, so then why can't I, the thief, return the object to the shaliach himself? B'mamtzi lo shaliach. I will say, the case ultimately is where he goes in and he makes a shaliach available to him. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, in the middle of that, Rashi, the Torah Mishnah, Seinu, he says, Ela b'mamtzi lo shaliach, bikesh mi chavero shiyamtzi lo legazlan es atzmo, lo mar lo im tirtze le shaliach klum leploni shalach biadi. But we're talking about a case over here where the victim tells a friend of his, do me a favor, go make yourself available to the gazlan, to the thief, and tell the thief that if he wants to send back the stolen money with you, that he could do so. So the Gemara says, this is the victim talking. I have money with the thief. But he hasn't sent it back to me yet. Do me a favor. Is Chazile, go and appear before him. Dilma inishu dula mishkach lishadurele. Because maybe the reason why the thief has not yet returned the money is because he hasn't found someone to send it with. Ina mikidrat chista bisachira ulikito. So remember again, in that kind of case, it's important to understand that there, the shaliach is not assuming full responsibility. See, Rabbi Yossi, in this case over here, if Reuven stole money from me, so the Mishnah's case of where the Mishnah says that Reuven shouldn't give it to the shaliach is in the following type of situation. Where what? I tell my friend, listen, Reuven stole money from me. He hasn't sent it back. He already admitted that he owed me the money, so I know he wants to repay it. He hasn't sent it back. You're going to be in Reuven's town? Do me a favor. Go knock on Reuven's door. Ask him, Reuven, by the way, is there anything you want to send back to Silber? And I happen to be going back to, right? Is there anything you want to send back? Right? And this way, tell Reuven you're happy to transport him. Rabbi Yossi, now that is not a formal case of shlichos. Meaning, again, there, the agent is not assuming any more responsibility except that he's willing to be what? He's willing to be a courier. So we'll say, in that kind of case, the Mishnah just says to the thief, just understand, you can send it back like that, but you're taking a risk. Because should something happen to the money in transit, you, thief, are responsible for that until it reaches the hands of the victim. So the Gemara goes right to Rabbi Yehuda Meshua. Bless you. So Rabbi Yehuda Meshua, unbeasable, say, Ein Meshalchin Maos, Bidi Yukni, Va'afilu Be'idim Chasum Nala. Rabbi Yehuda, this is an interesting case. You don't send money Bidi Yukni. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Bidi Yukni. Masalo Bala Pikadon L'Shaliach, Simonin, the Kasav Lochos Mo Beigeres, Umasralo, the Amarlo, Leh, the Israel Leploni, the Eten Lacha Moos Shiesh Leviados. Well, so listen to this case. I went ahead, I deposited money with Reuven. I want to get my money back, so what do? I go ahead and I write a letter, and I go ahead and I put my seal on the letter. And I send a letter with my shaliach, and his shaliach comes to Reuven, right? Silber wants his money back, and here is the letter with his seal. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel, that if Reuven should not send back the money based on this letter with the seal. Shouldn't send the money back with this letter with the seal. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Im Eidim Chasum Aleha Mishalchin. So Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda saying Mishmuel, even if there are witnesses signed on that shtar, then what? You still shouldn't return it. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says if there are witnesses who are signed on the shtar, and the shtar says I Silber, who deposited the money with you, Reuven, would like my money back, and witnesses signed on it, and my seal is on it, then Reuven should absolutely return the money once he gets that letter. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, my takante. So Rabbi Yehuda is the name of Shmuel. Shmuel is obviously concerned about what? He's concerned about the fact that if somebody deposited money for you, perhaps conventional wisdom is, don't return that money until when? Until you hear from the owner of the money itself to go ahead and give it back. That seems to be what Shmuel is saying. So Gemara says, here's the problem. Let's say the owner of the money is somewhere far away. So what do you do? I'm with Shmuel, my takante. So how should the owner get back his money if he's not in close proximity to the person with whom he deposited it? He held Rabbi Abba. Have a masik zuze with Rabbi Yosef bar Chama. So also Rabbi Abba used to go ahead and lend money to Rabbi Yosef bar Chama. Amri Rav Safra. So remember, so also just follow the names over here. Rabbi Abba is the lender. Lend money to Rabbi Yosef bar Chama. Rabbi Abba said to Rav Safra, do me a favor. Bahadi da asis, when you're going to the town of Rabbi Yosef bar Chama, I sinu nihile. Do me a favor, get me back my money. You know, if you don't mind, pick up the money for me while you're in the town of Rav Yosef. So what happens? Ki amarle Rava Bara. So we'll say what happens. So Rav Safra shows up at Rav Yosef's house to get the money. Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, the borrower. Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, the borrower, says to Rav Safra, the person was acting as the agent of Rabbi Abba to collect the money. So mi kasav lecha hiskabalti. So listen to this, So tell me. Look at Rashi. So mikas of lecha, do you have it written down? His kabalti ma'osi bekabalos al sharav safra. Supposed to listen to this. So Rava the son of Rav Yosef the borrower says to Rav Safra, the person who is there to collect the money on behalf of Rabbi Abba, tell me, do you have a receipt with you? Do you have a receipt that essentially says once we give you the money, you Rav Safra the money, that it's as if Rabbi Abba the lender went ahead and received it. So we'll say, what is Rava worried about? Rava is worried about, we're going to give you the money. Something's going to happen to you on the way. The money's not going to reach Rabbi Abba. And then what? And then what? We're going to be on the hook. So essentially, what is he asking him for? A release, right? A receipt. Meaning, do you have a release with you? Meaning, do you have a release that we can sign that once we hand over the money to you, we have effective repayment? Amar Leilo. So to which Rav Safra said, no, I mean, to be honest, I'm just here doing a favor. I'm FedEx, right? I'm just here to go ahead and pick up the item and take it back. I don't have any kind of release or receipt. Se'ihachi, so listen to this. So Rava said to Rav Safra, Ihachi, Zilbaresha, V'yichtov lecha hiskabati. So do me a favor. Why don't you go back to Rabbi Abba? And why don't you come back when you have a receipt? I'm not giving you the money. Why would we give you the money when we have no guarantee that if something happens to you, that we are free and clear from any further payment? So if you want, meaning we're happy to give you the money, it's not that we don't trust you, but, so we're happy to give you the money, but Lamaisa, come back first with a receipt. So it says the Gemara, So both say, interestingly enough, so Rav Safra thought about this and he said, at the end of the day, even if I had this receipt that said what? That when you give this to me, it's as if Rabbi Abba received the money. Even that wouldn't be so effective. You know why? He says, Dilma ada osis shachiv Rabbi Abba, because it's possible again that Lamaisa, by the time I got back, Rabbi Abba would be dead. They will say, now at this point in time, Rashi says, Shachar Rabbi Abba, Dizakinu, Ukvar Bital Shlichuso Kodem Shetekablim, Vihavu Ansiluhu Minach Ba'archa, Tibaril Chayasi. They will say, this is fascinating. So Rav Safra says, I just want to tell you, look, even if I came back with a receipt, Lamaisa, it still wouldn't fully, she's just pointing out, it wouldn't give you full coverage. I'll tell you why. Because even if I had a receipt that said, when you hand over this money to me, it's as if Rabbi Abba has received the money. Rabbi Abba's old and he's sick. If he were to die before I get back, they will say, so what happens? If he were to die while I was in transit, Rabbi Abba dies, what happens to the Shlichus, Rabbosai? What happens to Shlichus? It's done. It's terminated, right? Now, I will say, remember, that shlichus is not transferable to the orphans, which then means if Rabbi Abba dies while I'm on the way, and after he dies, let's say I get held up, and the money gets stolen, the yesomim, the orphans, who inherit the debt, but don't inherit the shlichus, would come after you again for repayment of that debt. So, all Rav Safra is just trying to point out is you, Rabbi, you think that if you get this hiskabalti shtar, you're covered from all extenuating circumstances. I just want to point out to you that that is not the case. Just want to point out to you that even so, if Rabbi Abba were to die while I was in transit, and then the money were to be taken from me through extenuating circumstances, the Yisomim would have a claim against you again for the money. So the Gemara says, fine. So says Rava, good point of Safra. So tell me, do you have an Eitzah as to how we can give you the money and be free and clear from any further liability? Listen to this. So he said, yes, in fact I do. Zil nikninhu loch. So both say, listen to this. Why don't you go ahead and, I'm sorry, zil niknin lecha agav ara. Why don't you go ahead and we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, nikninu nehelach agav ara, viyu shalcha b'chol makom shehen, dekaim olon b'kidushin, nechasin she'in lehen achrayis, niknim in nechasim she'ish nachal. So we'll say, there is a way to transfer money. How can you transfer money? If Rabbi Abba would go ahead and transfer the debt to you, agav karko. Let him give you a piece of land, and when you acquire the piece of land, you will acquire the debt, agov, by dint of that piece of land. So we'll say we know that we have this ability to acquire movable property through the acquisition of real property. So if Rabbi Abba were to transfer to you ownership of real property, and also transfer to you the debt through the acquisition of the real property, you, Rav Safra, would become the owner of the debt, and therefore when we hand it over to you, we, the borrowers, are free and clear from further liability. And then you, Rav Safra, who are now the technical owner of the debt, can go ahead and write a shtar to us saying, payment done, right? Loan closed. Because Rav says, Rav Papa, he lent 12,000 gold pieces. Bechozoi was a place to people in Bechozoi, and what happened? So Akninhu Nihili Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Agav Asefa de Besa. So we'll say, so what happened? So now Rav Papa wanted to get repayment for his debt. He wanted to send Rav Shmuel to go ahead and collect the debt. So what did he do? He went ahead and he conveyed ownership of the debt to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba by giving Rav Shmuel Bar Abba a sefer de besa. Literally, he gave him the threshold of his house, meaning he was makdin to him a small piece of land, and by being makdin to him a small piece of land, he was able to acquire the debt agav karka, on the back of the land. And because of that, again, Rav Shmuel was able to collect the debt, he was able to write the receipt in a release to the debtors, and ultimately Rav Papa was so happy about this. He says, Kinas ki asa nafak lape atalach. Rav Papa was so excited that literally he went out until tuach, Tavach, to go ahead and greet Rav Shmuel. And both said, just an interesting halacha, just in terms of debt responsibility and liability. Fine. Nasan lo asa karen. So both remember again, the Mishnah said that, remember, go back to the Mishnah's case. I stole from Ruvain, and I swore falsely about the fact that I stole. So what's the halacha? The halacha is I have to pay principal, keren, and chomesh, the penalty, fifth plus a karban. Let's say I paid back the keren, the principal, but didn't pay back the chomesh. So the Mishnah paskins that what? I don't have to pursue the victim in order to pay back the chomesh. I have to track down the victim in order to go in and pay back the keren, but I don't have to track down the victim in order to go in and pay back the chomesh. To which the Gemara says, Amo chomesh mamonahu. We'll say, you see from here that the one-fifth penalty payment is mamon, is a real monetary obligation, and not just simply an additional mitzvah that is upon the thief to pay back. Look at Rashi. Amo chum shamamonu, midi itzrich leile misne in tzarch leilich acharav amamonu gaber. The fact that the Mishnah tells me that I don't have to track down the victim to go ahead and pay back the chomesh tells me that what? Chomesh, I'll just explain this for just a moment. There are two ways you could look at chomesh. You could look at chomesh as a real financial obligation, or you could look at chomesh as an additional necessary piece for kapara when I have taken a false oath. The Gemara understands from here that the fact that the Mishnah has to tell me that I don't have to run after the victim to pay back the chomesh tells me that had the Mishnah not said that, I would have assumed that what? That chomesh is just like keren. That chomesh is just like principal. And I would have to. The Mishnah exempts me, but that teaches me that chomesh is a real mamon payment. So the Gemara says, therefore, V'mayis. So what's the ramification of that? Therefore, if the victim dies, V'mayis, Mishami le'yorshin. I have to pay the chomesh back to the victims. Utnanami, we also learned, Nasanas ha'karen v'nishma la'chomesh. If a person paid back the karen, but he swore falsely about the chomesh. So we'll say, in this case over here, he swore falsely that he stole, then he admitted that he stole, right? And now again, he swore falsely again that he paid the chomesh, when in fact he didn't pay the chomesh. Hare mosif chomesh ala chomesh. You have to pay another fifth on the fifth. What do you see from here? Amo chum shemamonu. Rabbi say again, you see that the chomesh payment is not just simply a kapara payment, but rather again, it's a real mamon payment. The Tanya Nami Achir, a Brisa that supports this, Hagoz las chaveiro v'nishpalo, but if a person steals from his friend, and he takes an oath that he did not do so, umes, and he died, yarshim mishalmin karen v'chomesh. Rabbi say, now again, in this case, the thief died. So the thief went ahead and stole, swore falsely that he did not steal, and then again, apparently it was discovered that he did steal. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Umeis, meaning he was discovered before he died, that he stole. That so what happens? Umeis, then he died. Yershim Shalom and Karen and Chomesh. So the offspring, meaning the heirs of the thief, have to pay Karen and Chomesh. Upeturim mina asham. And ultimate, but they are parted from the asham. So in other words, financial liability is transferable. Karbanic liability is not. So the Gemara says, the Yarshim and Eshlomi Chumsha Davon Habu. Habo said, do Yarshim actually go ahead and pay the Chomesh of their father? In other words, if the father, the thief, died and didn't get to pay the Chomesh, I understand why the children have to pay the Karen, but do they have to also have to pay the Chomesh of their father? Or Minu, I'll raise a Kasha. Adainani Omer, Emasa Enom Shalim Chomesh. All right, but you know what? Actually, we'll stop over here by the Orminu. We'll pick up over here Miras Hashem tomorrow. Okay, so we're stopping in the middle again, talking about the discussion whether or not children are obligated to pay for the chomesh of their father. Miras Hashem to be continued. Shkoyach.